We're going to be in Matthew, the 7th chapter, if you want to open your Bibles to there. While you're turning there, I'll tell you about a funny thing that happened at our house. It's been several years ago now. But what happened is I needed a haircut, and that's how long ago it's been. I used to have hair that needed cut, and so I needed a haircut. And in our home, my wife actually, she has a salon that she used to run out of our home, and so I just went down to that salon, and I sat down in the chair, and she put the apron on, and just like she'd done every other time, she proceeded to cut my hair. The only unique thing about it is, unbeknownst to me, as a little bit of a prank, she cut all of my hair except about a 2-inch strip right along the back of my head, all the way up to about right here. And I didn't know anything about it. And so she actually had another haircut to do. I got up from the chair. Another person got in the chair. And she proceeded to cut their hair. And unbeknownst to her, I needed to run to the Home Depot. And so off I went. And I went into the store and walked around, got the things I needed. I talked to a few people there. And I was too unaware to know. I'm sure they were giving me odd looks and wondering what was going on, but I had no idea, totally unaware of what was going on. Of course, I got home, and then she told me what she'd done, and I said, I've been out in public like this, and so we both kind of had a good laugh about it. And so you might be thinking, well, what's that got to do with Matthew, the 7th chapter? What I'd like to talk about this morning is self-awareness. There, that day in Home Depot, I was completely unaware of how I looked. And in Matthew, the 7th chapter, at least in the translation I used, you won't find the word self-awareness, but it does deal with this topic on a couple of occasions in Matthew, the 7th chapter. And so I'd like to look at the teachings of Jesus here and think about this idea of being self-aware, specifically spiritually aware. And I'm going to ask you to use your imagination this morning. When Jesus taught, I think that's what he wanted people to do, is to use their brain and to picture things. We know he taught in parables. He wanted people to picture the things that he was doing. And so he painted a picture using words. And so I'm going to ask you to do that this morning. Just use your mind and try to picture these things as best you can. I'd like to first look at Matthew, the 7th chapter, starting in the 3rd verse, and just picture here what Jesus is describing. He says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." I think you can picture that scene. You know, somebody's got something small in your eye and you're trying to help them get that out, or you can picture somebody else trying to get that out. But the person trying to help them get it out, they've got a big plank in their own eye. That's a ridiculous scene. And what Jesus is talking about here is this idea of, the term's not used, but being self-aware. Yeah, it's good to help other people, but you need to be aware of yourself before you can help someone else. Let's jump down to Matthew 7, 21 through 23. And again, I'll ask you to picture this. Jesus paints a good picture using words for us. If you've ever wondered, what's the judgment day going to be like? Well, he gives us a glimpse into what judgment day is going to be like here in Matthew 7, 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I'll declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So Jesus, he paints a picture of a lack of self-awareness on judgment day. You know, none of us wants to be that person that's walking around Home Depot with a, a funny haircut, or the person that has food on your mouth or food in your teeth, or maybe you're walking around with a button undone in your shirt or your zipper undone. As a parent, this is one that's I think about. None of us wants to be the parent that we think our child's an angel and everybody else knows they're just a terror. None of us want to be those things, but more than anything, none of us want to be the person that's described here in Matthew 7. The person who thinks they're saved. The person that stands before the Lord and says, Lord, look at the things I've done for you. Who is there with that expectation that they will receive the reward, but has to hear what we read in Matthew 23. And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. None of us want to be that person, but the fact of the matter is this. There will be many who hear that. And the reason we know that is because that's what the Bible says. Verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied your name? There will be many people, a lot. A lot of people are going to be in that state. Centuries ago, Benjamin Franklin wrote in his 1750 Poor Richard's Almanac, he said, there are three things extremely hard, a steel, a diamond, and to know oneself. And I think those words are still true today, to know oneself, whether it's in the things of this life or spiritual things, it's difficult to really know who I am and to have the right view of myself. That's why we read here, many are going to think they're saved. As I was studying this topic, I read a few studies that were done, and I won't read the whole study to you, but it was one that interviewed people on all aspects of their life, everything from health to how they were doing at their job, and they interviewed all these people, and all these people, the overwhelming majority, thought they were above-average employees, they thought they were above-average health. We tend to rate ourselves maybe above what reality is. Just an example, bad driving. I think we'd all agree there's bad drivers out there, wouldn't we? I see them every day. But who here thinks they're a bad driver? Well, none of us do. We all think we're a good driver. But here's the problem with self-awareness. It's the problem that nobody thinks is their problem. And that is the problem. It's just a difficult thing to do to really know who you are. So, specifically, when it comes to this example of judgment, we have to be willing to consider that maybe this could be me. Maybe I could be the person standing before the Lord who's not prepared. Maybe this could be me. This is a possibility. And if I'm not willing to consider that possibility, then it's very possible that is me, because there are many in this situation that will stand before the Lord. So here's what I'd like to do this morning, is talk about how do we become more spiritually aware? If this is such a difficult thing to do, if there's many people who are going to stand before the Lord and think they're saved and they're not, how do we actually make sure that's not me? How do I become more spiritually aware? I'd like to give us three things that we can do. The first one we find right here in Matthew, the 7th chapter. I'd like to look at specifically the context of this passage here Matthew 7, 21 through 23, and look at the verses before it and after it, and I think they give us a really good clue how to be more self-aware. So let's look at the few verses before this passage we just read about the judgment. I'm going to look at chapter 7, verses 19 and 20. There it says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by your fruits you will know them. Okay, these are the verses right before that passage about the judgment day. Let's look at the passages right after it, verses 24 and 25. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So those are the verses before and after. And Maybe you've noticed a theme there. But even within the verses that we read there in the judgment day, I think we see the same theme repeated. Verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these saying of mine and does them, look at verses 20, 21. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, and then verse 23, and I will declare to them, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. So just looking at the context here, the verses contained within that judgment, I notice something they all have in common. There might be more than one thing. Here's the thing I notice. It's talking about what people did. It's talking about their works. By your fruits you will know them. Whoever hears these saying and does them, verse 24, it's talking about their works. So here's something we can do to be more self-aware. Think about your works. Think about the things that you do. And that seems like a real simple thing, but to be more self-aware, we do need to look at our actions, because sometimes we tend to maybe rate ourselves on what we intend to do, maybe what we hope to do, maybe what one day we might, well, I'd like to achieve this or do this, but that's not really a good assessment of who we are. A good assessment of who we are is what we're actually doing. That's the best assessment. If I were to say, well, I'm a loving husband, but I never do anything to show that love to my wife, maybe I've got good intentions. Maybe I think, well, one day I'll say kind things to her. One day I'll be loving towards her. But I'm not actually doing those things, will it? It'd be hard to really make the case that I was a loving husband. And it's the same way spiritually. Just look at our actions. This is the best assessment. This is not to say that we're going to be saved because of our actions. The good thing about our actions, I think the most valuable thing, is it helps us to know where our heart's at. Sometimes we don't know where our heart's at. The Lord does. But we can know our heart's at based on our actions. It's a great way for us to look and see, well, is my heart really in the right place? If it is, our actions will follow. So just a simple exercise. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to think about your actions and help evaluate yourself, just read through the Sermon on the Mount. And as you read through it, think about, well, am I doing these things? We don't have time to do that, but just, you know, looking through some of these things. Matthew 5 and 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers. I can ask myself, well, am I a peacemaker? Matthew 5 and 16, it says, let your light shine before men. I can ask myself, well, am I shining my light today? Matthew 5 and 22 tells us not to insult our brother, not to say evil things about him. I can ask myself, do I call my brother names? Matthew 5 and 28, this is one that's good for men especially to consider. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. Matthew 5 and 44, this is a tough one, Matthew 5 and 44. Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Some of these teachings of Jesus are difficult. But the point is this, look through them and say, am I doing these things? And that'll help us to be more self-aware. Maybe some of these things I'm not doing. And if that's the case, well, then just start doing them. That means you're becoming more self-aware if you find some things you're not doing. If you read through this and you're doing all of them, it could be a really good thing. Or it could mean maybe you're just not very self-aware. It'd be great if you were doing all these things. But if you're doing all of them and you think, oh, I've mastered all these, that might be a sign that maybe you're not self-aware. Maybe it'd be good to read through them again and really think about, well, when was the last time I actually did do this? A lot of good teachings here, and that's the point that Jesus is, I think we can take from this. To be more self-aware, just think about, what did Jesus say to do? Am I doing it? Now, you might look at this, back to this passage here in Matthew 7, and say, well, weren't the people on the judgment day, weren't they doing these good works? In fact, isn't that what they said? They said, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name? And yeah, they were doing works. But what were the works they were doing? Well, they said they were prophesying, casting out demons. They were doing many wonders in his name. These are good things. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus doesn't talk about these things. He's not asking his followers to cast out demons in his name, to do great wonders in his name. And so, again, to be more self-aware, look at what Jesus asked us to do. What did he ask us to do, and am I doing it? Sometimes we like to make up our own things that we're doing, and we think, oh, this is such a good thing. Well, it's good to ask every once in a while, what did Jesus ask me to do? It seems like that's where these people got off, is, yeah, they were doing good works, but was it what the Lord asked them to do? And I think that's what Jesus was saying as he concluded the Sermon on the Mount. He tells a story of a wise man who built a house and a foolish man. And they both built a house, didn't they? They were both doing some works. But what was the difference between the wise man and the foolish man? Well, he tells us. He says that the wise man is the one who built his house upon the rock. He's the one that heard the sayings of Jesus and did them. He heard, it's a simple thing. He heard the sayings of Jesus and did them. The foolish man is the one that heard them and he didn't do them. He was building something, but it wasn't what Jesus asked him to do. He missed the point. And so here's the point. To be more self-aware, just look at your actions. Look at the Bible. See if they match up. I think that will help us to be more self-aware. Here's the second thing we can all do to be more self-aware. I'd like to look at Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, the 12th verse. This is a passage you're most likely, many of you are very familiar with. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." It judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the Bible does. It judges what we're thinking. It judges our intentions. You might say it gets down to who I really am. The Bible helps me to know who I really am. Because this is a difficult thing. You know, the Lord knows our hearts, but sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't know our hearts. Proverbs 21:2 says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart." Similarly, Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You know, sometimes my children do something that they shouldn't do, or they show poor judgment. I'll ask them, and maybe if you've been a parent, you've asked the same question, you'll say, "Well, why'd you do that?" And you know what my children usually say? They usually say, "I don't know." And I think they're right. They probably don't know why they did that sometimes. And we're the same way. Sometimes we don't know why we do things until we really think about it. Sometimes we might not know why we do something. But the Bible can help us in that. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's how powerful the Bible is. It'll help you figure out why you actually do things. What's your true intention behind doing something? It's that powerful. It gets down to who we really are. So here's, to be more self-aware, just read the Bible. Just read the Bible. It'll help you figure out who you really are. And I'll warn you, you might not like what you find, but that's an opportunity to get better. Sometimes we read the Bible and we think, that's not good. It can cut us a little bit and think that's not who I ought to be. It kind of helps us realize, well, what's my intention when I do these things? But in the long run, that's a good thing because it's helping us to be more self-aware. It's helping us to be more like the Lord. So second thing we can do, just read the Bible. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Third thing we can do to be more self-aware, and I'll phrase it this way, there's probably a better way to say it, but just have a heart-to-heart with the Lord about who you really are. Ask him to help you to be more self-aware. That's what David did. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. And here's one of the Psalms, Psalm 26:2. He said, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. This takes a little courage to ask this, to say this to the Lord. But David said, "Examine me and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." That's it. David's crying out for better self-awareness. He says, "Lord, look at my life. Show me who I really am." And this is a good thing to do, because you don't want the first time that you have this conversation with the Lord on who am I really to be on the judgment day. You don't want that to be the first time. Again, picture that judgment day. We're told there many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" They lack the self-awareness because it seems like they hadn't really checked in with the Lord to say, "Lord, search me, try me, see who I really am and help me to see that." So at my place of employment, every month, every employee in our group checks in with their boss. They have monthly align meetings. And it's just a chance for every supervisor or boss to talk to their employee to say, "Here's what's going well. Here's what you could be better at." And those are good. Just a monthly check-in. That way everybody can get an evaluation on how you're doing. And this is a lot better. There was a time when this wasn't always done. And I've worked at companies where this wasn't done. And I've worked at companies where they had an annual review. Yearly they check in. And undoubtedly, this would happen almost every year. We'd have an employee, they thought they were doing great. And then they'd check in with their boss, and they'd say, "No, you're doing terrible." You know, it's just like, they couldn't be more apart from each other. It would happen all the time. If we do it monthly, it seems like this goes a lot better. You can say, "Well, here's what you ought to get better at," and check in. That way, when you get to the end of the year, they're not shocked that they're doing a bad job. And this is how we ought to be with the Lord. We don't want to get to judgment day and say, "Well, Lord, how I do?" Let's check now. Let's be like David and say, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me." Another psalm. Here's Psalm 139:23. It says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, if we can pray that psalm with sincerity, that'll help us have more self-awareness. I think we can even do this in song. I don't know if you sing the song here, but I think it's a really good song called "Pure in Heart, O God." I'll read a few lines from that song from you. "Watch thou my wayward feet, guide me with counsel sweet, pure in heart, help me to be. Pure in heart, O God, help me to be, until thy holy face one day I see. Keep me from secret sin, reign thou my soul within, pure in heart, help me to be." Or actually, the first song we sang today, Chris, "Have thine own way, Lord." There's a good, some real, if we can sing that with sincerity, there's a verse in there that I think it says, "Search me and try me." You know, that's really, if we can ask that with sincerity, the Lord will help us. He'll help us to be more aware. So that's the third thing we can do. Just to recap, we can ask the Lord, pray to him to search us. We can read the Bible. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We can look at what the Lord's asked us to do and really look at our own actions and say, "Well, when am I doing the things that the Lord has asked me to do?" I'll close this morning with a story about a couple of young men that attend church where I attend in Lone Jack, and they're very young men. So one of them is my son. He's a 3-year-old. He's got a cousin who's 4. And they were over at our house at a family get-together. It's been about a year ago. And so we'd had dinner and we'd had dessert, and we had told these two young men, the 4-year-old and the 3-year-old, we said, "Okay, no more desserts, no more snacks." And you know how that goes if you've been around 3- and 4-year-old boys. In their mind, they kind of wanted some more. And I saw them kind of just creeping over towards the desserts, and I could see what was going to happen. So I went over there myself, just out of view of them, just to see what would happen and be ready to say something if they reached up there and got them. And as I edged over there, the three-year-old, he looked at the other one and he goes, "Are you sneaky?" And the four-year-old, he thought about it and he goes, "No." And he was right. And I share that with you because he, as bad as he wanted some more dessert, he knew who he was. He knew that he wasn't very sneaky. He knew that he couldn't get away with it. And so I'll close with that this thought this morning. Just know yourself. Know who you are. You want to be ready for Judgment Day. And you'll do that by really being self-aware, by seeing yourself as the Lord sees you. We'll offer the invitation at this time. If there's anyone here who needs the Lord, if you'd like to call upon Jesus, if you'd like to be baptized for the remission of your sins, if there's something here the congregation can help you with, we just invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the final song that's been selected.